Thank you for that song tonight. Thank God for His amazing grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Some define it. His grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy, not getting what we do deserve. I'm just thankful I serve a sovereign God who's in control. He does what He wants, when He wants, and how He wants. And it'll be right. Thank Him for His grace. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to Psalms chapter number 4. Psalms chapter number 4. Psalms chapter number 4. We'll read all 8 verses, and Lord willing, we'll just go verse by verse and see what the Lord has in store for us tonight. You know, this morning, we've turned our clocks back. And as you can see, it's dark outside. It's nighttime has engulfed us. And some call Psalms chapter 4 a psalm of the night, a psalm of the evening, a time when David is in his bedchambers, asleep perhaps, and he's meditating upon God's goodness, upon God's grace, and all that God has done for him and how God had delivered him time and time and time again. We know Psalms chapter number 4 is the morning psalm. He reads and it talks about how he awakes and how he sees God and how he calls upon his Lord. But it's rightfully entitled in Psalms chapter 4, a psalm of the night, a psalm of the evening. And we'll read all 8 verses. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Verse 2, the Bible says, "O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing?" Verse 3, the Bible says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord." Verse 6, the Bible says, There may be many that say, "Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, hast maketh me dwell in safety." Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the truth of the word of God. We thank you, Father, that your word is eternal. God, I pray now that you'd bless the reading of your word. I pray, Father, that it would find a place in our hearts, and Father, it would encourage us and help us. And Father, I pray that everything that's said tonight will be uplifting to you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalms chapter 4. We see in the superscription here, the Bible says, to the chief musician. We know who David is writing to. It's a psalm of David. David's name means beloved. We see that he's writing to this chief musician, the chief overseer, the director, as you may say, the one that's first or one that's foremost. And I believe David is saying none other than it's all about Jesus Christ. He is the one to take preeminence. He's the one to be first and ruler and overseer of our life. He's in all, and I'm thankful he's with us tonight, and I'm thankful for his presence that we got to experience in the songs that were sung about him. And David's saying in verse number 1, he says, "Hear me when I call." I was thinking, number 1, about the attitude of the saints. We know David had an attitude here in verse number 1. He said, "Lord, hear me when I call." We don't know why David was praying to the Lord. We don't know why David was calling upon his Lord and Savior. But he says the phrase, "hear me." And as you study this and you look at that word here in the Hebrew, it doesn't mean as what we would think is hear or listen to or understand. The word means to answer. The word means to respond. It means to give a response, to receive an answer. David's praying, and he's not saying, Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, listen to my supplication. Father, hear me when I call. But he's saying, Lord, answer me. Lord, respond to me. Lord, give me a response when I call upon your name. I was thinking about our attitude when we pray. When we come to the Lord in prayer, do we have the attitude that God will answer, that God will respond, God will give an extension of our prayers? Or do we offer up our cares? Or do we just offer up our thoughts and our concerns to the Lord? David had an attitude that when he prayed, that God was going to answer his prayer. We have that same confidence tonight, being a child of God, those of us that are saved and born again, that's been washed in the blood of Christ, we can have that confidence and attitude that God will answer our prayers. Notice what he says, this attitude of the saints. He's saying, Lord, answer me. Lord, respond to me when I call, O God of my righteousness. He's saying, Lord, when I cry out to you, God, when I tell you my supplications or my burdens or my problems, Father, I pray that you'd answer in my righteousness. And I started thinking about the God of my righteousness. You know, there wasn't anything good about David. There wasn't anything good or righteous about David. And there's nothing good or righteous about you and I tonight except the one that lives inside of us. David failed God. We failed God. David sinned and David was disobedient time and time again. But notice what he says here. He said, God, when I cry out to you, answer me, the God of my righteousness. Jason alluded to it this morning, talking about the blood of our Lord and Savior. His blood, his righteousness is the only goodness that's in you and I tonight. That's what makes us just. That's what gives us the opportunity. That's what gives us the privilege tonight to call upon this thrice holy God. Tonight we have that right. We have that right to request from our God above. He's saying, hear, answer. He's saying, respond to me. Give me an answer, Lord, when I call upon you. It's the attitude of the saints. But notice when he does it, he says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Our pastor preached this morning on distress to deliverance. And I started thinking about the word distress, and it means the narrow place. Yesterday, I had the privilege to take the family up to Caesar's Head, and we were up there looking across that beautiful valley and looking off into South Carolina. We could see into Greenville, such a beautiful and clear day. And as we were leaving, we got to go down into this rock cliff. And as we was making ourselves in our way to the rock cliff, there was a rock cliff on our left and a rock cliff on our right. And as we were walking, it seemed like it was getting narrower and narrower and narrower. That's what David's saying. He said, Lord, in my distress, in that narrow place, when I can't go to the left or when I can't go to the right, that's when I'm needing an answer. That's when I'm asking you to respond. He's saying, Lord, in my distress, in that narrow place, he's saying, enlarge me. Make me to grow. Cause me to get bigger. Let my problems and my trials in that distressful place seemed to grow very small. I believe it was Brother Brian Gillum that used to say that our faith is like film, that it's developed in the dark. You know, it's in those dark times. It's in these distresses that David's talking about, those times that we're oppressed, those times it seems like that the world is hammering down upon us. That's when God can come and answer that prayer and extend that new grace and cause us to grow and cause us to enlarge our faith. It's the attitude of the faith of the saints. Those trying times, difficult times, the afflicting times, not the times when we're living on the mountaintops or the times we're skipping upon the ridges, but it's those distressful times, those trying times that God comes and enlarges our faith. The attitude of the saints. I see number two, the attributes of the sinner. Number two, he says, O ye sons of men, O ye sons of men. God is directing this to you and I tonight, and he's directing it to the sons of men. He's directing to all those that were born of woman. Notice the attributes of the sinner here. We see some sins that looks like they're lifted up. We see some sins that are being exalted. We see some sins here that God wants us to stop and to think about. Notice God charges all men. He charges you and I tonight with these sins. He said, O ye sons of men. Notice what he says. He says, O ye sons of men, O ye sinners, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long? How far will you go? Why are you keeping on turning my honor and my glory and my reputation and my splendor and my righteousness into shame? You've not only disgraced my glory, you've not only insulted his honor, we've not only brought reproach upon him and how gracious he truly is. Notice what he says. As you and I tonight, members of First Baptist Church, are we doing that to him? Are we robbing this one, this God that David's praying to, of honor that's due him? Are we ignoring his goodness? Are we taking for granted his mercy? Are we failing to praise him? Are we failing to testify of his goodness? Are we failing to give him all the praise for his wonderful works? Notice what he says, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? Four times in Psalms 107, the Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. So many times, God gives us great blessings and he blesses us beyond measure. We have food in our stomach and a warm home to go to and fine families and a church to come to praise him at. And we have all these wonderful blessings God's given us, but we don't return the glory and the thanks and the praise to him. He says, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity? How long will you love this emptiness? These things that we're pushing for and trying to grab onto, and the things that we keep loving and we spend time and effort and money and our thoughts upon things that are vanity. It's the word emptiness. Start thinking about Solomon, how he was a man that had anything that he wanted. The Bible says he had pleasures and wines and houses and vineyards and gardens and pools and cattle, gold and silver, great courses of men and women, whatever his eyes desired. But he goes on to say that it was vanity. It was emptiness. It was nothing. And the Lord has blessed us with these things beyond measure. He's given us here in America houses and lands and prosperity and freedom and jobs and all this stuff. And I'm afraid that's become our God. I'm afraid that's what we long for. And I'm afraid that's what we strive for. And God said, how long are you going to love this emptiness? How long are you going to love this vanity? But then he goes on to say in verse number 2, and seek after leasing. You're going to search. You're going to desire. You're going to seek, you're going to beg for and long for leasing these lies and deceit and falsehood. I'm afraid to say, as America, as a society, we've rejected the truth. We've followed after the wickedness and the things that are from hell. God said, how long? How long are we going to seek after this leasing, the lies? I think tonight what God's saying, he wants us to promote his glory. Praise him for all that he's done for us. Let us praise him for saving our soul, that we should love the things he loves and we should seek after the truth and give him all the praise and glory for it. Verse 1, we see the attitude of the saint. Verse 2, the attributes of the sinner. I see verse number 3, the affirmation of a servant. The affirmation of this servant, David says, but no. He's saying there's some things we can realize. There's things that we can consider. There's things that we can get settled. We can recognize, he said, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Misty sang the song I marked this morning. God has marked us, marked you Mark those that are godly for his distinction, for him, for those that can serve him and be a blessing to others and promote his wonderful, glorious name. Notice who it is. It says to him. To who? To the godly, to those that are kind, and those that are faithful, and those that are merciful. Notice it's not what they do. Many of us can't do great and wonderful works. We can't witness to thousands and preach to millions and do wonderful works. That's not who God has set aside for his glory. It's not for what they do, but it's for who you are, for those that are godly. We all can be godly tonight. We all can worship him and praise him and live a life that's dedicated to him and putting him first and putting him before all others. To those that are godly, we see it says, now we have a promise in verse 3. He says, but though that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. I think the psalmist is telling us tonight, if we live this godly life and we follow after him and we long after him, and we're kind, and we're most merciful, and we promote his glory, and we love the things that he wants us to love, then the Lord will hear and answer us when we call. Verse 1, we saw that word hear. It means to answer. It means to respond, or it means to receive. But here in verse number 3, the same word, it's translated to understand. It means to listen. Not only is this God that David's praying to in the night hours, not only is he listening and perceiving and understanding and knows what we're facing, but he can answer and extend that helping hand. It's a attitude of David. It's the attributes of all the sinners. We see this affirmation of the servant of God, but I see number 4, the awesomeness of a Savior. Number 4, he said, stand in awe. This word stand, it's the word to quiver. It means to tremble or to shake. I think what David's saying is we just need to be amazed of what a Savior we serve. Oh, what a Savior is mine. I bless his name. Be amazed at the great and the mighty things that this God has given us. Stand and see. Stand and be in awe. Stand and be amazed. Stand still, the Bible says, and see the salvation of the Lord. I think we all could testify tonight of how God has brought us through things time and time again. How he's been good to us. How he supplied that need. How he has answered and how he has heard and how he has understood. He said, stand or be amazed and sin not. The word sin not, it's a phrase of not missing God's way. I don't want to miss God's way in my life. I don't want to miss his way in my family, or I don't want to miss his ways here at Fletcher First Baptist Church. How are we not going to miss his way? He says in verse number 4, stand in awe and sin not, and commune with your own God. With your own heart upon your bed. It's a psalm of the night, a psalm of the evening. No doubt David is here and he's writing and he's thinking and he's meditating upon his God. And David says commune means to talk. It means to speak or to utter, but not with the lips. Not with your mind or not with your mouth or tongue, but notice what he says here. He said, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart. It's the things on the inside of us that truly matter. Not what we utter, because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's on the inside will come out. David is saying, God, I give you everything that's inside of me, those cares and concerns and the soul of man and the heart of man. God's interested on what's on the inside of us, not what we think or not what you and I perceive. I wrote in my notes, Pastor, that God has given us his word not to understand it, but he's given with our minds, but he's given us his word for us to believe it with our heart. We may not understand all of God's ways and all of God's word. We know He's sovereign, but we can just believe it and have faith in it. Commune with your heart. Commune. It's the awesomeness of a God. But I see in verse number 5 the acts of sacrifice. Verse 5, he says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Offer these sacrifices. We know that David and the people of this time, they would have been well acquainted with offerings of those doves and animals and goats and bulls. They would kill it and offer it in a ritual or a ceremony. But you and I tonight, we don't have to offer doves. We don't have to offer animals. You see, Jesus Christ has already paid that supreme sacrifice. I remind you in Hebrews 10:4, the Bible says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You say, preacher, how does this offering sacrifices pertain to you and I? In Hebrews 13:15, the Bible says, by him, by Jesus, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. How do we offer sacrifices? By not taking God's glory away. By giving him praise for everything that he's done for us. By living this life that's holy and pure. By living a life that we search and we seek for godly things and testify of God's goodness. By lifting up our hands and by praying and offering gratitude and thankfulness on God's behalf. He goes on to say in verse number 5, and put your trust in the Lord. The word trust is care. David's saying, put your care in the Lord. In the Jesus Christ, we should have no cares because there's nothing to worry about. Everything in him is good and right and righteous. Notice in verse 4 and 5, these aren't suggestions. He says, stand in awe and sin not. He says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. He's saying, put the trust in your Lord. They're not suggestions, but they're commandments. They're imperatives that God is commanding us to serve and to honor and to adore him. Verse 6, it says, there be many that say. David is saying, there's a lot of questioning of God going on. There's a great number. There's a great multitude. There's many that say, who will show us any good? Just like in David's day, there was people saying, who's going to help? Who's going to come to our rescue? How are we going to get out of the situation? Who's going to watch over us? What are we going to do? Who's going to improve this situation? They were trusting in man. They were trusting in his man's ability, man's finances, man's fortune. But I'm glad he wrote Psalms 121 as well, when David said, I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He's saying, don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in the church. Don't put your trust in the pastor. Don't put your trust in the family. But put your trust in the one that has that can do something about this situation. Verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart. It's a word for a gift. It's a word of giving. He said, you've put a gift. You've given me something inside of my heart. And God is giving us this gladness. He's given us happiness and he's given us joy and peace. And he's given us jubilation and things that this world or man can't give. But more than, and better than, and greater than, notice what he says, the corn and their wine increased. The Lord had given David and Israel great crops and great harvest. There was food and there was grapes and there was wine and there was many things to ponder and to partake of. And that's wonderful. And that makes them glad. But David's saying, this joy and peace and contentment that you've put in our hearts, There's nothing that can compare. You know, we ought to just bless him tonight for the joy and peace, knowing that we're not going to hell, that our names are written in heaven, that we're having a place that we can trust to the unseen hand that'll get us to heaven, our home. Joy and peace and happiness. Verse number 8 in closing. He says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. We see the assurance of safety. Psalms 4, it's a psalm of the night, psalm of the evening. He's saying, God, you've made me dwell in safety. You've made me dwell in peace. David is confident in his Lord, that the Lord is going to hear his prayer, that the Lord is going to answer his prayer, that the Lord is going to respond to his prayer. And he said, now, God, there's safety, there's peace, there's comfort in you. We ought to take joy in that tonight, knowing that we're in his house, we're his child. We can call upon him, knowing he'll hear and answer our prayer. A psalm of the night. I don't know what night you're facing. I don't know what valley you may be facing or your circumstances you may be facing. But as we read tonight, we can put our trust in the Lord. There's peace that only Jesus Christ can give. Peace. Peace. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, with fathomless billows of love. I'm thankful for God's word. I'm thankful for his peace. I'm thankful I can call upon his name and I can have the attitude tonight that God will hear, God will answer, God will respond, God cares, God marks me if I'll put him first, praise his name, and thank him for all his many blessings. Let us all stand tonight. Missy, if you'll come and play something on the piano, if you don't mind. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Father, we thank you for this encouragement, Father, for David, and as he's laying upon his bed, and Father, knowing that he has a confidence that you'll hear and answer his prayer. Father, there's many among us that are hurting, and Father, there's many that are going through these stressful times, the times of distress, and it feels like they're in a narrow place. Father, I pray that you'd hear their prayer tonight. You know each and every need. Father, you know the hearts of the believer tonight. Father, you know the sinner, the one that's lost, that's here tonight. Father, I pray you'd send conviction their way and they would call upon your name. Father, I pray that you'd answer the needs of the hour. Hear our prayer. Answer our prayer. Help, Father, the only way that you can help. Send that peace and comfort that David speaks. And Father, we'll be thankful to praise you and to honor you for it. We ask these things in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatever your need is tonight, this altar is open. You can pray to him knowing that he'll hear your prayer, answer your prayer, and speak that peace to you.
Testify. preached about my Jesus. How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. Did I mention
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, faithfulness has been a theme in our household the past little bit. Not necessarily faithfulness, but that he's been faithful. And I just want to thank him for always being faithful. It doesn't matter how, well, it does matter how unfaithful I am. I try to stay faithful, but he's always been faithful.
Amen.
He's been faithful through Sawyer's surgeries. He's been faithful through physical times, through mentally distressing times, through financially distressing times. He's been faithful through spiritually distressing times. He's been faithful even in my unfaithfulness. He died for me. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? All God's people said, amen. Amen. Brother Glenn, do you mind to come and dismiss us? Preacher. That's right. Brother Leonard Fletcher, Sister Gail, and Brother Gary has made copies. They're on the back table. If you requested those or if you would like some, you can just put your name on the sign-up sheet there and we'll get them to you. Thank you, brother.
Our Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercy. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, how he agonized in the garden until his sweat became as drops of blood. We are so eternally thankful to him. And I pray this week as we go out that we will share Jesus with somebody, whether it is to praise him or to witness for someone don't know him, maybe he's never heard the name. But let's be bold in this and share Jesus with someone this week. Forgive us of our sins. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. And we pray that you'd fill that void in that heart as only you can do. These things we ask in Christ's name and for his own name's sake.